And one of the things I've noticed is there's things where congregations are not doing so well in, so you preach on it. But then there's other parts where congregations are doing great, and we also have to preach on and encourage in that way. And so today is more of a, see if this gets loaded up, to encourage the women of the congregation, because they recently started a Bible study, and since the beginning of this year, from my knowledge, is women have been getting together, encouraging one another towards God. And so this lesson isn't to remind people so much, but it's to encourage you to keep doing what you are doing. And as you can see, my wife helped me out with the PowerPoint, because I normally probably wouldn't pick that picture. I was joking with Austin earlier is that my slideshows would be like black and white, and that'd be it. But luckily, I have a wife that helps me out a lot with that. But one of the things is that culture changes. It doesn't matter what time or what country, the culture is never the same wherever you go. And a lot of times, roles change. And maybe 50, 100 years ago, there was a decent understanding of what a homemaker was. And nowadays, to the world, they're like, what is that? Also, the husband kind of switched roles where we call him Mr. Mom. You see the picture up there? And he stays at home versus the wife. And so, throughout society, it doesn't matter. You could go throughout history and you'll see different role changes, different responsibilities. But God tells us many different things, and we're not actually going to concentrate too much on that type of stuff, but I want to show that God's word always stands. This doesn't change God's truth. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 1. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6. And the reason why I'm pointing this verse out, because we'll reference it a couple times, so I just want to read the context of it. And it says, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, the braiding, the hair, the wearing gold jewelry, or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with an imperishable quality and of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you become her children if you do what is right, without being frightened by any fear. But notice in verse 5, see here? It says, for in this way, in the former times, the holy women. So there's tons of examples in the Bible that talks about holy women, and they're examples. So if a woman has no one to turn to, she still has God's word on how she should conduct herself in everyday life. And one of these things that I always find encouraging is it cuts through all culture. It doesn't matter what society says, God always has his standard. And the first thing we should realize, and what I'm going to concentrate on is, as the first slide said, adorning the next generation or any generation. And women are always called to teach one another. And there's a reason for this. Turn over to Titus chapter 2. Starting in verse 3, Titus chapter 2, 3 through 5. And as we look at this, God doesn't give commands just because he likes to. He gives them with purpose and reason. And it says, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. And quickly, I could be a man, men are like, okay, there's a command, do it. You know, and then that'd be the end of it. That's kind of a guy's attitude. We're a little bit more blunt with each other about, okay, there's a command of God. We need to do it. Let's move on. But there's a little bit that I understand is we get busy in life, just like with any commands of God. And we tend to push those commands aside. There's this command, even though I'm required to teach anyone, this command is to a woman versus to a man. And at times we get busy in life, and as life gets more messy, as you say, you know, when you're a kid, the biggest thing you worry about is, am I going to get dessert after dinner? But as you get older, real life pressing issues come in and hone down on you. But the truth is, if God has a command, we have to make room for it. We have to put all busy life and excuses aside. And the truth is, as a guy, I cannot relate to the women in this congregation as well as another woman can. For example, would be if Austin, let's say Austin was a woman, and I go up to him and I sit right next to him and I put his head against mine, and you know, he has a little scraggly goatee thing going there, and I'm like, oh, it's okay, and I start rubbing his hand. You know, if I was to do that to another woman here, how would that go over? Be like, Alan's pretty creepy. You'd just be a little bit scared of me. Be like, and we're going to sit from the farthest point. Alan's in the back. We're going to sit in the front. You probably wouldn't talk to me for a while. But the point is, women can do that. They can come up to each other. Guys just like give each other like a gut check and say, you good? You good. But women, they come up to each other and they will hold your hand. They will pet the head thing, however they do that. And they will comfort each other quite well. And men are kind of left clueless. We can learn a lot, but yeah. With women, they can laugh, cry, giggle, and get loud with all in 5 minutes. And as a guy, I'm not exactly that way. And that's why God gives this wonderful command, because I probably can't do that best job. That's what this lesson, I'm doing my best, but most of you know what I'm talking about. And that's the idea, is that women are to build up one another. The command is from older women to younger women, and that's always a necessity because there's that life aspect that younger women haven't had yet, but younger women also can teach older women. And there's different subjects that come up, and I'm going to probably pick the most controversial in this world. We're not going to actually dive into them, but the necessity for another woman to teach another woman is essential. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. And in our society, submissiveness or submitting or respect is not a word that's liked by anyone, male or female. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, it says, "But I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, the man is the head of a woman, and God is the head of Christ." Also over in Ephesians chapter 5, 22 through 24. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 22, says, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything." And there's two different generations. You take a woman who is 40, 50 or older, and I'm going to do two wrong views, so just understand. Is that I've seen men who believe a wife's job is the idea of submissive and being respectful, is that she is seen and not heard, and that when he comes home, food should be ready, and he sits down and does nothing, and the woman always takes care of the kids, and the guy did the hard part of working an 8 to 10 hour day. And that was probably about 40, 50 years ago. That was the idea of what it meant to be submissive. To the other extreme, certain changes good, certain changes not, is that women are told now that being a wife, raising kids, is not an occupation at all. It's not something that you should desire. You need to pick a real job. It's gone to the extent of, even if you get married, you need to be independent of your husband. independent of your children. You need to be your own woman. And marriage isn't about that. You shouldn't be submissive to anything that's male. And so you got two extreme views. Both are wrong. But you got a younger generation that's dealing with this issue and an older generation that has dealt with a different issue. And one of the things that we have to realize is, regardless if you might have a generational gap, there always has to be that connection with one another. One of the things is that we have to realize is that I was talking with two different women at two different times. I'm just going to use one example. Is her and her husband were sitting down with us, talking to me and Leah, and trying to paraphrase a long conversation, is that the times have changed. Young women don't want to be told anything about how to raise their kids or told that they're wrong. I'd say that's anybody with my generation, not just women, younger women. And that younger women just don't listen, and they're just too afraid to ask or to ask to teach them and instruct them in the way of God. And they can't just relate to the younger women of this age. Therefore, the result that her conclusion is that people do nothing. But yet, we see God commands in His Scripture. And a lot of times, commands can be really easy, and they can be really hard. And so even though there might be that excuse at times, we're supposed to overcome that. And like I said, luckily with this congregation I've seen for the past, well, I haven't been here a year, but since the time I've been here, is that a lot of the women have been encouraging one another, teaching one another, and building each other up. And this is to say to keep on doing that. But it's also a reminder is that everyone usually has something to offer. We all have different life experiences. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 5, starting in verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 5, starting in verse 1. It says, "Do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, to younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters in all purity." And again, I could quote Jesus as, "Whoever does the will of my father is my mother, my father, my brother, my sister." But the point is that in the congregation you're in, you have brothers and sisters. You have people who are like mothers spiritually to you. Paul kind of references himself often. He's not as God the Father, but I was a father to you with the gospel. He raised them up. And one of the things that we should know is that unlike when we're little kids where there is absolutely no understanding, parents go, "Don't do that." And when you get older, I think we all can relate. You're like, "Oh, that's why my parents told me not to do that." But it's already after the fact. You're like, "Why didn't I listen to my parents?" I run into that often in my life. But with the church, when you come to Christ, it's in humility, you're humble. And luckily, unlike when you're a little kid, you hopefully have a good head on your shoulders. And so when someone talks to you, you don't have to use that phrase, "Oh, I wish this person in the congregation would have told me." Or, "Now I know why I was told that, not to do that." But it's more of, "Oh, I can avoid those things by those who are more mature." They can help direct you in the way of Christ, and it doesn't have to be like it might be with your real family, where you kind of push those things aside. And that's kind of the same idea that's given in Scripture, is that some people are more knowledgeable and mature in other areas, but they're to help you avoid those things. But also when you're going through a time, it doesn't have to be bad, on how to handle yourself and then go through those joyful times, make a lot of fun things happen, but also through the hard times where you'll be encouraged and you can count on people. But the truth is, if your brothers and sisters are in Christ or here, then you have to love them enough to help instruct them and help them avoid something when you see it. And also when they're going through a time, maybe they just got married, instruct them in marriage. It has to be a bad thing, but you help them work through it when they have questions. And that's one of the requirements of God, is that, you know, this could apply to men as well, but we're supposed to adorn each generation. Each generation is supposed to make sure the next generation, and vice versa, that generation has to help out also, is that adorning one another. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 9, Paul uses certain language. He says, likewise, I want women to adorn themselves. Talks about physical clothing, but then it talks about more of spiritual things in the next verse. And the same thing as we read it already in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5, says, saying, for in this way, in former times, the holy women also who hoped in God used to adorn themselves. Now, I don't know about you, but maybe when I think of adorning, the most I've known about adorning is that when I was like 15 or something, I had an earring. But when it comes to women, they understand the idea of adorning themselves. They understand the idea of they braid each other's hair, they paint each other's fingernails, and many different other things. It's one of their bonding moments. It's one of those things where they have an understanding and they beautify themselves, you know, they get all prepped, and men may not have the best understanding of that. Like I always tell my wife, if it wasn't for her, I'd still look like a homeless person. Because I've been mistaken for one, even in almost a third world country. So, adorning doesn't exactly click for me. Let's just say that. But the truth is, God talks about women adoring themselves, not just with modesty and physical dress, but on the inward person. And the truth is, it brings about such a result as Proverbs 31 says. In Proverbs 31, starting in verse 10, it says, an excellent wife who can find for her worth is far above jewels. And then in Proverbs 31, verse 30, it says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. One of the things you'll notice is that a woman who fears the Lord, it's the, what matters? Is it the outward beauty? No. But it's the inward beauty. And if you have gotten to where you're a beautiful woman of God on the inside, God wants you to share that constantly with those who are getting to that place, who need to mature in Christ. And share what you know. The idea is that women are to adorn themselves, but also other women spiritually. In truth, there is one person you're, not I won't say impressed, but that you want to look beautiful for, and you have one Father who truly cares and sees your worth. And it's God who wrote those verses, and He cares about that. And so, kind of the closing statement is that my prayer and hope always to keep encouraging the women here, to keep teaching, to keep edifying, to keep adorning one another, to keep doing what you're doing, and that what your progress and what you've done hasn't gone unnoticed, is that as 1 Peter 3, 4 through 5 says, it says, your adornment must not be merely external, the braiding of hair and the wearing of gold jewelry, or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with imperishable qualities of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. So I hope every woman here is precious in the sight of God. I hope that is your goal, and to help other women to be just like you and growing up in the faith. And there's always an option that people have is to receive God's gift of salvation. God tells us that we have to hear and believe the gospel, realize what God has done for you, that He has sent His Son, He has died to remove our sins, was raised again as we will be, to turn and repent from our ways, to do a new lifestyle and to live for Him, to confess our belief in God that He is our Savior, to be immersed in water, to be baptized, as Galatians 3, 26 through 27 talks about. It talks about adorning yourself with Christ, putting on Christ, being clothed with Him, and to follow Him the rest of our days. So if there's anyone here who may be struggling or needs the prayers of the brothers and sisters in Christ, or who wants to adorn themselves with Christ and become a child of God and turn their life over to them, I encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.